Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Mary DeMuth. Mary is on the show talking about how a little encouragement goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Mary is an international speaker, a podcaster, and the author of over 46 books. She's sharing how the encouragement from other people has impacted her ability to persevere in ministry and overcome a difficult past. She loves to help readers and audiences live uncaged, freedom-infused lives. Tune in to be encouraged in your faith and relationships as Mary shares her personal stories and biblical wisdom to encourage you and me today. Well, hello, Mary, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
It's so fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're an international speaker, a podcaster, and the author of 46 books. And so as an author, like the first time author where I'm releasing one book, I just want to stop right there and just congratulate you first of all. And I just would love to hear about what your writing journey has been like. So let's start there.
Yes, it's quite an exciting journey. And I was an English major in college, but I ended up teaching for a couple years and then I started having babies. And when I had my first child, there was just this longing to write a book. The moment I gave birth to her, I wanted to birth a book. So I spent about 10 years writing in obscurity, unpublished things, mild success here and there, but really nothing to speak of. I did end up writing a novel during that time. I started off as only a fiction writer. And then in the early 2000s, I went to my first big major writers conference and got an agent at that conference, and started off writing about half fiction and half nonfiction. It's now mostly nonfiction, with I think I've written 7 or 8 novels in those. So, but I think I love fiction more. But it just ended up that the bread and butter was the nonfiction. So I've been writing since about 2005. I've been writing about 3 books a year. I've slowed down a little bit this year. I only have 2 releasing, but it's hard to release a book. So I'm actually really grateful to only have 2.
Well, I'm looking at you and you, I mean, you don't have to tell us your age, but you are young. I just want everybody to realize, like, this is a feat. This is incredible. How many words God has given you, and what a blessing.
He's given me a lot of words. I often joke that every book that God has had me write has been used by him to heal me in some way or another. And so I joke that I must have needed a lot of healing because I sure wrote a lot of books.
Well, on that topic, you have overcome a difficult past to become an authentic example of what it means to live a brand new story. So how has encouragement from others helped you to overcome?
So much. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. It was a very difficult, drug-induced, neglectful, divorce-ridden, sexual abuse, not in the home, but outside of the home for a whole year when I was 5. So just a lot of trauma. So if you see those like childhood adverse experiences quizzes, I get like the best score on them. I get all the things. And one of my parents died too when I was young. So it's just like all of those things. But when I did meet Christ, it was through Young Life, but a friend had invited me. And so her encouragement to come when I was 14 and 15 years old is super helpful. And then in college, after I'd been a Christian for a couple years, I just had a really good group of friends around me who dared to believe that God would heal me. And they prayed for me for 4 years. And so that kind of encouragement of just listening to my story, crying alongside and praying really brought a substantial amount of healing in my life.
Gosh, I love so much about that. Even in the midst of the hardest things that we go through, that God is still there, he's still working, and he will bring people into our lives to encourage us and help us through. That tangibleness of, you know, God can sometimes feel so intangible, but how he brings his tangible love to us throughout our whole lives. And so now you love to help others restory their lives. And so for the woman listening who has had a difficult past, or maybe is going through a difficult present right now, how would you encourage her today?
I would say that, especially if you're going through it right now, it doesn't last forever. Sometimes it gets worse, but the Lord is good and he stays with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His presence is bedrock. In terms of those who have gone through just lots of trauma in the past, there's always hope. And, part of that hope comes a little bit with your own gumption. And what I mean by that is if you stuff your story and you never share it, it will not heal. I often tell audiences an untold story never heals. Mm-hmm. And so your job is to find a safe person who is amazing and tell your story and at least get it out. And if you can't do that, at least write it out so it gets out of your soul. Because otherwise that trauma has a way of just tangling you up inside and you end up doing the very things that you swore you would never do as a result of reacting to that trauma. So if you stuff it, you still will react to it. You may not say it out loud, but it's going to come out in your actions. And so if you really want to be a blessing to the next generation, if you want to be a healed mommy, then it is part of your job to pursue it. Jesus asked the man in the pool of Bethsaida, and he said, "Do you want to get well?" And he never answers the question, but I think Jesus asks us that question too. Do you want to get well? A lot of times, dysfunction is our safe place. And so we stay there because it's what we know, but there's so much more out there for you in the wilderness and in the new places that God wants to bring you that will bring you healing.
Well, I love that you are bringing healing to so many people, you know, the Lord, obviously, but what an encouragement you are to those women that are walking through similar things that you've walked through. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned too, that you're a mother. So your wife and a mother of three adult children. And so for the moms of littles, what encouragement and advice would you share for them?
I was listening to a doctor in his 70s on a podcast recently, and he was talking about how we tend to just like read parenting books and just obey them blindly. Mm-hmm. And we don't listen to our instincts because we don't trust them. And I think there is something to be said about trusting the Holy Spirit inside of you. Maybe one of your kids shouldn't get a timeout because it's not a good thing for them. You know, there's just all sorts of different ways. And so I guess, you know, for me, having grown up and being raised by wolves, I had no framework for parenting. So I did read a lot of parenting books and they were very helpful. But what helped me more, two things. One was get on my knees and cry a lot and just ask Jesus for help because I didn't know what I was doing. And number two was finding mentors in my life. And sometimes those mentors were in books. Sometimes they were like random ladies at the grocery store who were patient with their kids. And sometimes they were like actual tangible relationships in my life that I could ask questions of because I just didn't know.
What strikes me, because I agree with you, what strikes me about that is that we can be an influence and an encouragement to people without even realizing that we are,
yeah.
You know, mentioning the lady of the grocery store that we doesn't even know she's mentoring, but she actually is, or even the author who maybe somebody is reading your book and they're, mm-hmm. Somebody else is being encouraged who's reading it. I love the thought of that. And, you know, so Mary, your children are now grown up, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So how has your role as a mother changed?
Yeah. So in those beginning years, there was a lot of band-aids and hugging and praying and coaching and teaching and discipling and being very connected to their lives as much as I could. But every year I was working my way out of a job. Every year I was moving from very direct parenting to more coaching toward that 18-year-old letting go time. And if you're in a high control situation where you have to control your kids at any cost, and then they leave at 18, both of you are going to struggle because if you've never trained them to live life in the real world and all the complications that come with that, then they're going to flounder. But conversely, if you have never done any sort of letting go prior to that, you are going to cry a lot when you take them to college. And of course, you're going to cry anyway. But I would say that that's kind of the thing that I've had to learn. And it's never easy to leave them because I think the thing that was hard for me was taking my first daughter to college. The thought came to me of, I don't get to see her every day. And that is a huge loss when you're used to seeing a human being every day. I mean, it's like sending your husband off to college far away. Like, that's just like, that's the person you see every day and they're not there anymore. Yeah. So it's really hard.
Yeah. I've got two middle schoolers. And just even that, they're just the transition of letting go slowly and surrendering them to like what God has for them and not mm-hmm. micromanaging every little detail of their life, like who they're talking to, who, what they're yeah. eating and what activities they're doing moment by moment. And so, I love your mentorship in this way for me, even personally. And so your latest book is titled Love, Pray, Listen. And this is a resource for navigating the rocky terrain of parenting grownups when your children choose difficult, even seemingly wrong paths. And I feel like this advice really could apply to like all of our relationships mm-hmm. in life, but why mm-hmm. did you feel the need to focus on this specific audience?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm actually teaching through the book right now at my life group, and we've got a whole bunch of mix of different kinds of people. And so often in the conversation I have with them, I say this applies to all relationships because yeah. In the book, I take the structure of walking through love is patient, love is kind. So I'm exegeting 1 Corinthians 13. And so that learning and unpacking what love is really important for everything and everyone. So it can be for everyone. But the reason I wrote the book was that I was running into parents who basically lost their minds and their joy when their adult kids that they wanted, of course, to be Christ followers and all of that kind of stuff. When they left the faith and did all sorts of crazy things, it sidelined my friends or these acquaintances that I had, and it stole their joy. And I think that is the thing that, you know, the enemy is attacking our kids all the time. If he can attack our child and have them walk the other way, and he can steal our joy, he has two victories. And so my heart in writing this book is, let's just give him, well, we're going to fight on our knees, so we're not going to give him any victories, but let's not have us be one of those casualties. You can have joy even when your expectations for your kids don't work out. And this is for mommies of any kids of any age. I think one of the things that I have come to find out is that we have this idealistic expectation, whether it's fueled by going to church, whether it's fueled by other ministries or books we've read, but we have this ideal of what our family is going to be like. And particularly you think about, well, when my kids are old, we're going to always be together. We're going to live in the same city. I'm going to have grandkids and I'm going to make cookies and all those things. And those things could happen, but what if they don't? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us make an idol out of our expectations. And the Lord is saying, you've got to let that go, because if you make an idol of your expectations, you will miss the beautiful little nuances that the Lord has for you along the way. You'll, because of the big picture that you have, oh, it's not what I wanted it to be, you're going to miss, oh, but look how the Lord led my child in this way. It might've been really small. I would have missed it had I been just lamenting about where they weren't, instead of noticing where they actually are.
Gosh, I feel like you're preventing me from a lot of heartache, future heartache. I really do, because I have a tendency to do that in general. I romanticize kind of everything. Mm-hmm. And then when things and my expectations, when things don't go the way I think that they will, I end up getting disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's certainly true in my parenting. And so I'd love to, it's like love, pray, listen. Is this a linear process? Is it circular? Like, is this in order? Or how does this really work? Or is it just really just three words of what you hope that we should be doing?
Yeah, it's more messy, definitely. Okay. And it's really the only thing that you can do, especially as your kids leave the nest. You can't control, you can't interfere, you can try, but they are at that point adults. And so really, what can you do? You can love them. No matter what choice they make, you can love them. You can always pray for them, definitely. And you can listen to them when they come to you instead of pontificate, or instead of trying to impose your political views on them and try to set them straight, so to speak. I'm seeing that a lot of the tension between parents and their adult kids right now, especially kids in their 20s and early 30s, is different political ideologies. And unfortunately, in our country today, and this is quietly political, but what I mean by that is that unfortunately, we have equated a certain party or a certain way of looking at things, whether it's Democrat or Republican, as the Christian way. And therefore, if our child deviates to a different party, we think they've lost their mind and their faith, when maybe they haven't. Because last I checked, the king of the universe is Jesus, not our rulers, not our political system. So I think there's a lot of common ground that we can find with our adult kids if we just listen instead of trying to tell them what to think.
Yeah. Or to try to make them be exactly like us. Right. You know, my mom recently, there was something with my daughter, and I had embarrassed her, and I said, "Mom, this parenting thing is really hard." And she said, "You know, it is." And she said, "I think one of the hardest parts is because we want to control and we want to fix and just kind of be that lawnmower helicopter parent, but yet we have to let our kids make their own decisions. And sometimes we know that those decisions they're making are going to let them hurt. And to just be say, okay, I'm giving you free will in so many ways, you're going to hurt. And I see it and I know it. And I've told you the, you know, best I can, but the reality is that's how they're going to learn. And Mary honestly reminded me of our Heavenly Father, how God is like, I have what's best for you. I've guided you in my word. I've given you the 10 commandments. But at the same time, we have free will and you're going to make decisions and you're going to hurt, but I'm still going to love you unconditionally anyway. And so I'd love to get to that practically and apply this maybe process that might be, you said it's messy. So maybe it's not quite a process, but so let's start with love. And so of course, as the host of the Love Offering podcast, this topic specifically is very near to my own heart. So how do we show our children unconditional love as our Father has shown us and Heavenly Father has shown us unconditional love?
Well, if we look at the story of the prodigal son, the prodigal father, or the father of the prodigal son, allowed the son to leave. And that was love. And that, I think, is hard for us to digest. When you've raised your kids and you let them go out the front door of your home, that is love. Because nobody needs to stay a teenager forever. Nobody needs to stay a child forever. It is love to kick them out of the nest. It is love to allow them to make those choices. But it's also love to be a soft landing. And I think one of the things that I tried to do when my kids were younger was to create a haven-like home, a home where my kids were wildly enthusiastic about coming home to. And, you know, it is the same goal that I have today. Recently, we've had some kind of trauma in our family, and one of my adult children is going through it. And that's one of the children that's far from the Lord. And they called me with all of the trauma and bad news. I was the first call. And to me, that was such a confirmation of, we may disagree on almost everything, but who's the first person that my child calls? It's me. Because we've created, my husband and I have created this haven-like home that no matter what happens, they can come home and they can be loved if they need that, you know, soft landing.
Oh, I love that. And I'm just even thinking about maybe the person listening that doesn't have a mom or dad or someone to call, like your Heavenly Father. He is a soft place to land for sure. But yeah, that's my heart's desire with my own children and the people in my life as well. And so, okay, let's talk about next, prayer. So how do we continue persevering in our prayers for our children when it doesn't seem like God is maybe paying attention or answering our prayers in the way we'd like?
I think for me, it's, and maybe it's just from old age, but just this long-term looking back at the faithfulness of God to answer prayers. I have one of my prayers that I have prayed since the moment I became a Christian for one of my family members. And I mean, that's a long time. That's like 40 years of prayers. And a couple of those years, for sure, I was like, this is never going to happen. I'm going to pray it anyway. There were times where I was like, it's not even worth it. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. And just in the past 6 months, I've gotten a call from that relative that I've been praying for who said they're going to church, which is a complete miracle. And so I think what we have to do is we have to remember that prayer is not an American thing. An American mindset is, if I want something, I get it immediately. And in prayer, that's not the case. We're to toil in prayer. We're to tarry in prayer. We're to continue in prayer. We're to persevere in prayer. So don't give up. God will answer in time. It may be, and usually is, extremely surprising from the way in which you prayed it to happen, but it's good and it will happen in his perfect timing. But it may be a 40-year prayer. And that's where your own discipleship journey, you can kind of gauge where you are in the discipleship process. If you easily give up because you didn't get an answer to prayer in a week, then you know you have to grow in that area.
Ooh, that's challenging for me personally. Let's persevere in our prayers, because we don't know the impact of those. And God, the Bible talks about prayer and as intercessory prayer for people. God does hear and he does respond eventually. And so then let's talk about listening. And I think especially in our culture too, you're talking about this American way. We're so quick to speak and slow to listen, aren't we sometimes? So is this the key to keeping the communication lines open with our children, with other people? And how do we know when to speak and then when to listen?
Always default on the side of listening. And sometimes when I'm in a conversation with someone, I have to tell myself at the onset of that conversation, be quiet and listen and ask good questions, because really people are mostly not asking for your advice. Even if they say, I want your advice, what they really want to do is work it out on themselves and hear themselves speak. It's just very helpful. Even for internal processors, it's helpful. So err on the side of listening, ask great questions, and try not to jump to negative conclusions immediately. One of the most interesting studies that's ever impacted me was done by the Gottman Institute at the University of Washington, and they were doing a predictor of long-term marital happiness. And so they could take couples and they could watch them interact before they're even married, and they can predict with very good accuracy who will divorce and who won't. The number one factor was this: does the spouse and both spouses, do they assume positive intention of the other? And so what that looks like is, if my husband's coming home from work and he's late, assuming negative intention is he's probably having an affair, you know, or he's, you know, doing something else, or he doesn't want to be around me. A positive intention is, my husband's probably stuck in traffic. He'll be here when he gets here. And so with our kids, it's the same. If we are always jumping to that negative conclusion in our heads, it's going to affect the way we either listen or blurt out things.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm going to have to look up that study, and maybe I'll, if I can find it, or if you can send it to me, we'll put it in the show notes, because that's fascinating. And, you know, I really appreciate, Mary, how you looked at the life of Jesus and how he modeled these characteristics. So would you elaborate more on how he exemplified these traits and actions of love and pray and listen?
You know, we kind of think of love as kind of gushy and sweet, but when we look at the life of Jesus, he told the truth, and sometimes it was truthful. And he went into the temple and he turned over tables. He had this zealousness for his, you know, the Lord's house. But he also poured into the broken and the needy and the marginalized and the tax collectors and the sinners. And so his love was unexpected. It was not what the Pharisees expected him to do. I just read this morning about Jesus healing the man born blind in John. And, you know, the statement was, you know, no one's ever done this. And the Pharisees are like, well, he's from Satan. And the guy that was born blind, he's like, whether he's from there or not, I don't know. But I was blind and now I see. And it's weird to me that you don't know who this is, because he is a prophet of some sort. So you've got this, like, Jesus who loves with action. And then, of course, you know, he's interceding. He's going up onto the mountain to pray by himself. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see him praying, not my will, but yours be done. He teaches the disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, which is a really great parental prayer. Again, your will as it is in heaven is a hard one to pray. And then to listen, I just, one of the most common words in the New Testament is peripateo. It's a Greek word that means to walk along. And Jesus peripateoed everywhere. He walked everywhere. I had the privilege of going to Israel. It's a lot of walking. It is not like all as close together as you might think, especially like Galilee and Jerusalem are very far away and up a big hill. And so Jesus is basically walking along with his disciples, doing life with them and listening to them, and then interjects when he needs to. So of course he does all these things for the disciples who are his children. I mean, we're all his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love the thought of that. And you're exactly right. And so speaking of, again, of our own children, whether they're young or adult, whoever's listening, however old their children are, or maybe I'm even thinking of spiritual mothers in many mm-hmm. ways. You know, we talked about mentorship earlier that, you know, you may not have biological children or may have children via other, you know, however God has given them to you, or you may be a spiritual mother. And so anybody that is maybe even younger than you, mm-hmm. what do you think is the best way that we can encourage our children?
You know, I think as parents, we're constantly tasked with this idea and this stress of got to mold these people to be awesome. And that's true. But in doing that, we tend to be fairly critical. And so one of the best things that I've learned to do, not perfectly, but I have learned to catch my kids doing something great. And even if it's small, catch them doing something great and tell them in the presence of others. Let them know, wow, you know, when you decided to, you know, stack all those chairs without anyone asking, that really showed that you have a servant's heart. And I really appreciate that about you. You know, my kids all have jobs now and they're doing fine and well in their jobs. And so there'll just be times where I'll say, you know, I'm really proud of you for persevering in that job. I know this week was hard for you, and that it shows that you're learning how to persevere and growing up, and it's just really cool. And so catch them doing something good instead of always being kind of the taskmaster of trying to make them into something.
Mm. Gosh, I needed to talk to you today. My kids are going to thank you later. So just because we're tying today's conversation in with my devotional, a little goes a long way. And today's topic is a little encouragement can go a long way. Mm-hmm. How have you seen a little encouragement go a long way in your own life?
You know, it's funny. Even in the world of, you know, instant message and texting and all of that, I do appreciate it when people text me and say, thank you for this or whatever, but there's just something really lovely about getting a card in the mail. So, that's something that I love. I just think that's so fun that someone would take time to write it out. Plus, I'll share a story about that. So, my husband and I, when we got married, his parents were really unhappy that we were getting married. We didn't get married in a Catholic church, and they grew up with a Catholic tradition, and they made our lives almost like hell for the first couple of years of our marriage and continued throughout our marriage. And so we had a very broken relationship with them. And one day I was just thinking, and this was a couple of years ago, I was just thinking, you know, they had three kids and all three kids are married and have stayed married. And I thought, that's a cool testimony. So I just wrote them a brief card, literally just a couple lines. I wrote something like, hey, I was just thinking about you. And I realized, you know, that you've had these three kids and they all are still married. It's a beautiful legacy. Thank you for leaving that for them. And that was it. Love, Mary. That was it. And then about a year later, I was in their town randomly, and I'd flown in, and there was a big storm. And so I had to stay there an extra period of time. So I called them. I'm like, hey, you want to have dinner? Like, what are you doing in our random town, like seven states away? So we go to dinner, and then we come back to their house, me and them. My husband's not with me. I'm alone. And they take me into the hallway. And in the hallway is a little table, and on the table is my card.
Aww.
And a candle, because they're Catholic. So they had to have a candle. And so, and they said, you have no idea. We walk by this every day and we read it almost every day. And so there is the encouragement. If you feel this unction from the Holy Spirit to write out a little card, the nice thing about a physical card is it stays with the person for a period of time, whereas a text will just get erased. And so that's my encouragement to your listeners today. Write a card today. Tell someone they're doing something great.
Oh, I'm all teary. I love every ounce of that. And it goes back to God's timing too, you know, even the healing and just to stay the course, to listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Yeah. So that is absolutely our task. Our little task today is to go and write a card. Who is God laying on your heart that you can go and encourage? So Mary, you've been an encouragement to me today, and I know you have been to everyone else. So how can we stay in contact with you?
You can find me at Mary DeMuth. My website is marydemuth.com. And then I have a freebie for your listeners. So if they go to marydemuth.com/ LPL, which stands for Love, Pray, Listen, marriedtomeet.com/LPL. I give you 52 fill in the blank prayers, one for every week for your child. Mm-hmm. And so these are comprehensive prayers. They're not short. And they are prayers that you can pray for your children, whether they're little kids or adults.
Oh, I love that. I'll be downloading that. I'll be including it in the show notes. And Mary, thank you. Thank you for just who you are, for your life, for your ministry, your mentorship, and for just being with us today. What an encouragement you are. And thank you for encouraging us to continue on encouraging others by loving, listening, and praying. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Mary DeMuth. We hope that today encouraged you to believe that a little encouragement goes a long way. This week, your little task is to read God's encouraging words. Then share those words or one of my suggestions with someone whom God places on your heart. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can purchase the significant merchandise, and download free resources like the guided journal, the conversation guide, and the list tracker. If you have not yet left a rating and review for the Love Offering podcast, I'd so appreciate if you would take the time to do that, just so more women can find this Love Offering message. Next week, my guest is Trillia Newbell. She is on the show talking about how a little story goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.